Go ahead and have a seat, both campuses. Man, thank you so much. Thank you for the culture that you guys have. I'm so pumped to be here. I'm telling you, I just now came off the high of being here last time. How refreshed I felt. And I'm telling you, there's very few churches in the country that make you feel so much like $1 million when you come. And you guys definitely do that. So thank you, and thank you to your leadership that creates a culture like this, that, church should be somewhere that's fun. It should be, it shouldn't be like everyone's sitting in here and look like they were raised, weaned on a pickle, right? It should look happy, right? We're talking about the good news. So thank you. I was here in February, and I told you a little bit about my family. I've got a wife that I've been married for 17 years. That hasn't changed, so we're still good, yeah. Still got 3 kids. Yep. Still have them. They're all there. Nothing's changed there. The last time I was here, I told you about my family, but I left out one particular family member, and I feel horrible about it. In Christmas of 2015, we got a little tiny white golden doodle. So cute, little baby dog, right? And then in Christmas of 2016, my little golden doodle looked like that. Right? 65 pounds and all that hair, right? And so we'd never had a pet in 38 years of my life. I never had a pet. My kids have never had a pet of any kind. And so we thought that we were really raising this guy the right way. Charlie Brown, get it? Uh-huh. Right? But I didn't know this about golden doodles, but there's an outer coat and there's an undercoat of their hair. And man, we were brushing this dog like crazy. We thought we were doing such a good job and went for his first haircut ever. The groomer called us and said, hey, I just want to warn you that the undercoat was so bad, there were so many knots that we had to shave your dog completely. And so I'm glad they warned us, because when we went to go pick him up, y'all, this is what we saw right here. It was bad. I'm just kidding. That's not my dog. Oh man, y'all are like, dang, like you're about to call the like pet owner police people, right? We didn't know that we weren't feeding him real well, but he really did look really skinny. This is actually him after the shaving right there. He looks skinny. It's hard to look at. I'm like, oh my goodness. So he wasn't complaining about not eating enough. He was happy, but man, now that dude like puts it down. Like we put so much food in that guy. And now he's back to normal. He looks more like his glamour shot there in front of the Christmas tree. But that's one development in my life. Another development in my life that I'll kind of use as a springboard into our conversation this weekend at both campuses is I turned 40. And because I turned 40, there was a kind of a batch of mixed emotions at that. And some of you that are older, you're like, oh, a little whippersnapper. You know, I get it, right? But I had this mixed emotion. I'm like, man, I've lived in the city. I lived in Miami. I've lived in the burbs in Nashville. And I feel like this next season, God's really called us to buy a farm. Like literally, we bought a farm. And, about 2 or 3 weeks ago is when we went under contract. And we don't close for 2 weeks, but the place is vacant. So we've been out there every other day. And you know what we've been doing? We've been out there dreaming. We've been out there planning. We've been out there imagining how much ministry we're going to do on this farm. I want to show you some pictures. Right here is kind of a front left shot of this 1880s cabin. That's the entrance into the property. And this next picture here is kind of just one of the pastures on the kind of the front left side. This next one's a driveway pick. And then we've got some other pictures here. We've got just an example of the inside of the home. Next picture, that's a kind of a side cabin. And then there's also some barns and extra homes. There's a shed in the back. There's another barn pick. There's a rental home in the back. And I'm telling you, we are just sitting out there, oh my goodness, how much ministry can we do on this property? We're going to have single moms that are living there in those rental properties that we're taking care of. We're going to have farm hands that are far from God. They're going to be helping us with the animals. And they're going to be sitting and eating dinner with us and hearing about Jesus. It's going to be amazing. In that big shed, we're going to have a big warehouse where we store food to feed the poor. We are just imagining like crazy. We're here in this series called Imagine. taking control of your future. And when I hit 40 years old, I'm like, whoa, I've really enjoyed the last 40 years, no regrets. But man, this next season of my life, I'm taking hold of it. What's important to us in this current season? And what's funny about that is I came from Miami, and guys, I was that dude from Miami with the big flowery shirts and the pink pants and the tipped hair and stuff. And so it's hilarious that I have a farm. It's just funny. But in this season, it's just what God, I've got people texting me going, I don't even know you anymore, right? They're in the middle of Irma, and they're like, shh. Right? And they're like, I don't know you. I'm like, oh my goodness. So anyway, I wanted you to imagine with me a little bit. And you used a muscle just now. You used a muscle as the imagining muscle to imagine with me. That's what you just did. Take that muscle, and now for a second, both campuses, I want you to take that muscle and imagine your future. Whether you're 20, whether you're 40, whether you're 60, what does your future look like? Do you have control? I mean, relative control. We know God is in control, but do you have control, or is it controlling you? So we're imagining. Raise your hand, both locations, if you're ready to just imagine today. You're ready to imagine, to move life forward. You're giving us full permission. Hey, listen, we are going to imagine this weekend at both campuses. Let's imagine together. Some of you may hear all that farm stuff, and you may not know what to do with that. You may be like, whoa, so this traveling preacher guy, should he have a farm like that? Shouldn't he give all that money to the poor? Some of you, that's where you're at. That's how you view money. That's how you view wealth. There's some of you at both locations, and you're saying, you know what? He works hard. He travels away from his family. He deserves that. He should get that. You've got some people that are like that. We've got all these different views of wealth, and we don't know how to even take that in. So, I want to talk this weekend, what I feel like God wants for us in this season as we go into this Financial Peace University season, four different views of wealth. Four different views of wealth that are out there. Three of them are incorrect, and one of them is biblical. And how cool would it be, we as a church, we, you see how that happens? I'm like part of the family, y'all. Yes. It'd be so great if we were on the same page biblically when we're talking about wealth. We are not worshiping the provision. We're worshiping the provider. Big difference. The first one's pride. Pride. The money comes from me. It's all because of me. This is what this the way you look at wealth, that's the way it comes across. Look what I did. I worked so hard. I deserve, right? It's performance oriented, right? Look at all my success. I'm hashtag blessed, right? You know? That's what it is. And what happens is it leads to bad decisions. And it leads to crazy purchases. Next thing you know, you're buying like Louis Vuitton Kleenex, right? It's just not the right thing. I work so hard. And here's the deal. I love those kind of verses that talk about, man, what you sow, you'll reap, right? If you don't work, it's in the Proverbs, it's right there. If you don't work, you don't eat, right? It's right there. The diligent will prosper. Another one says, if you're faithful with little, he'll trust you with much. I love those verses, man. I'm a productivity junkie. I love all that. But at the end of the day, the farmer ain't got jack squat unless God brings the rain. Right? That's the way it says that in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, 17 and 18 says this. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me, but the big buts of the Bible. Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. So pride failed. It's the wrong view. The next one's poverty. Poverty. We've got pride and we've got poverty. This one says that wealth is evil. wealth is evil. Oh, they make way too much money. This is nowhere in the scriptures, y'all. You know, the Bible says, you know, you might be thinking like, Chris, you do know about that one passage that says, oh, it's harder for a rich man to get into heaven than a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Explain that one. That is completely out of context. If you keep reading, it talks about Zacchaeus going, a rich person going to heaven. Hello, right? Must have been a big eye of that needle, you know what I'm saying? So it's a little bit out of context. There's another one that says, hey, the money of money is the root of all evil. No, the love of money is the root of all evil. Okay? So people vilify success. They criticize success. And many times the people who actually criticize success, trying to take somebody down from the mountain, they're a blogger in their basement. Typing on a $1,000 computer with $200 skinny jeans. Right? Here's where this breaks down. Listen, if you can hear my voice right now at both campuses and online, if you make more than $34,000 a year, you are in the top 1% of the world's wealth. If you make over $11,000 a year, you're in the top 14% of the world's wealth. So you know what that means. Many of us that are in at church this weekend, we're rich. And if we're rich, that means we're all evil. We're all, look around, look around. We're all evil people. Look to your neighbor and say, you're evil. I'll say it's just a joke. It's an illustration. Golly, y'all participate a little too much on that one. The third one, the third incorrect view is prosperity with no purpose. Prosperity. Now, prosperity is one of those tricky words because, and you guys know this more than anything because, man, you've got the guy who talks about this and writes about this more than anyone and does it so well. But, man, the word prosperity is a great word. It's been used incorrectly. It's used 92 times in the scriptures, all in a positive way, like the diligent will prosper. But prosperity with no purpose. Now, if you really think that if you say, you know what, God will give me the desires of my heart, and I want a G-Wagon right after service, and we all ask for that same thing, and we go out in the parking lot at both locations, are we going to see a bunch of G-Wagons? Nope, right? But man, he wants to bless people who are about him. He wants to bless people who are about his business. He does, it's true, but it's prosperity with a purpose. Prosperity without a purpose is not biblical. So with people with the next mindset we're about to talk about, he wants these people to prosper. And I know if you don't like that word, I don't care. It's in the Bible. It's right. I'm just a relay dude. Pressure's off. So here's what we're all looking to do. The proper view of wealth is gratitude. It is just a life filled with gratitude that God is the owner. Psalm 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, so he is the owner. And so if he's the owner and I'm not, guess what that means? I'm a manager. He's trusted us enough. He's given me dominion. And 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, those who have been entrusted to be managers must prove faithful. We get to manage for the Creator, and for that, I am so grateful. Whether it's $10,000 a year, $50,000 a year, or $300,000 a year, I don't care. He trusts me. And I am so grateful. That's what we're looking for, gratitude. When you look at all 2,350 verses in the scripture that talk about money and wealth and possessions, that's the view. You see all that, and you lay it all out, and you're like, oh, it spells gratitude. That's what it does. God, thank you for trusting me. So what do you do with all that? Chris, that's all cute, but what do we do with all that? You guys ask great questions. Check out Matthew 25, 14 through 30, and put yourself in this story. This is the Gospel of Matthew in the New Testament. This is Jesus speaking, telling a parable, so it parallels with our life. It says, again, it'll be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. Just like he, our master, does with us. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another one bag, each according to his ability. It's why we all have different salaries. We all have different seasons of life. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. Boom. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. Boom, right? But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned, settled accounts with them. Hey, what'd you all do with it? The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, hey, check this out. Out of gratitude, hey, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. I'm so thankful. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. You've maximized, you've leveraged, you did a great job. I'll put you in charge of these, of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Come and sit on the couch. Let's watch a Seahawks game, baby. Right? The man with 2 bags of gold came and did the same thing. Master said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. I've gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Come chill on the couch with us. Then the man who received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid. I went out and hid your gold in the ground. Wah, wah, wah. See, here's what belongs to you. I didn't maximize it. I didn't lever it. I didn't do anything with it. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received back with interest. You should have done something with it. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who had 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. Do you see why your church leaders, why your pastor wants to disciple you when it comes to finances? And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I know that got real heavy. Oh, snap. Right? This is not a weekend of condemnation, y'all. This is not a pointing fingers thing at all. Listen, we peek at the past just so we can learn, but we peek at the past, but we focus on the future. This is not about condemnation. This is about hope. We are called to maximize what God has trusted us with, but out of a heart of gratitude, not of pride. So how do we get better at that? Okay, Chris, I need some application. Give me some. How do we get better at this? I am so glad you asked. There's this class called Financial Peace University, and it will teach you all about how to do it well, straight up. The Bible's way of handling money. So imagine, what will it take for you to take control of your future? And some of you are like, no, I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. Well, you very well could be just out earning your stupidity. Again, not condemning, I promise. We've all made mistakes with money, right? That means that you're over 12. If you've made mistakes with money, you're just over 12 years old. So maybe you just don't feel the pain because it's all you've ever known. You don't even know what it looks like to have margin in your life. So let's bring this to life a little bit. At both campuses, did you get a candy bar when you came in? Raise that candy bar up in the air. Make sure they're all at both campuses. Raise it high. Raise it high. Looks like everybody here. Looks like everybody there, all right? Wait a minute, some of you ate the prop. When you go home this afternoon and say, I went to church and I ate a prop, what are you doing? Some of you gotta raise up a wrapper, right? Some of you don't even remember what you ate already. Consult with your belly, right? How many of you came in and you received a payday bar? Go ahead and stand up if you got a payday bar at both campuses. Stand up, right? Give a big round of applause, both campuses. Payday. You don't know why you're applauding yet, but there you go. These folks represent 2% of America. They represent 2% of Champion Center also. According to a Wall Street Journal study, this means that 2% of America are millionaires. They're millionaires. This lady's up here like, ooh, get myself a blessing, right? Praise Jesus, right? Yeah, 2%. Go ahead and stand up at both campuses, 100 grand bar. 100 grand bar, go ahead and stand up. Yes. Now continue standing at both campuses. The millionaires, you know, man, they invested early. They had cash everything, avoided debt, all that good stuff. And you all, 100 grand bars, you're doing the same thing. You just started investing a little bit later. I mean, you're cash for everything. And none of this 90-day loan, same as cash stuff. No, you're better than that. Go ahead and have a seat. The good news is we've got 2% millionaires. We've got 10%, those that are on their way to become millionaires. The bad news, it's only 2% and 10%. Then there's everyone else. Uh-oh. Both campuses, if you got a Crunch bar, go ahead and stand up. Crunch. Yeah. Put it up in the air. Wave it around like you just don't care. Right? You're broke and busted. You're in a crunch. Got tons of debt. Look around, y'all. It's a Wall Street Journal study, not my study. Go ahead and have a seat. Brutal. 6 years of debt. Take you 3 months to save up $1,000. Now, both campuses, stand up. If you got a zero bar, go ahead and stand up, you bunch of zeros. You know what that is? Nothing. Zilch. Nada. You ain't got jack. You're beyond broke. You're broke, busted, and disgusted. 16% of America, almost one of every five people in both of our auditoriums, are beyond paycheck to paycheck. They are facing bankruptcy, in bankruptcy, coming out of bankruptcy, really in a bad spot. All right, stand up if you've got milk duds. Both campuses, they're like, not really too eager. Yes, you guys are the same thing as the zero bars, except for another $100,000 in credit card debt. 2% of America, 2% of Champion Center. You see, the bottom line is, the illustration is, I want you to really be able to visualize at both campuses that 88% of Champion Center is broke or worse. I know we're driving nice cars. I know we're living in nice places, but the bottom line is, we're living a life that is less than John 10:10, life to the full, life abundantly. That's why your church leadership cares enough about you. They want you to live life a different way, and it will affect your life relationally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. It will move your life forward. So you saw earlier, 32 families did this in the spring. $140,000 in paid off debt, $72,000 saved at the same time, $212,000 turnaround, paid off 92, actually cut up 92 credit cards. That's just 32 families in just 63 days. It's pretty cool stuff. Pretty cool stuff. But that gives you a glimpse of what can happen in 63 days. We're imagining together. I want us to imagine together what that looks like 18 to 24 months later. What does that look like? So in 18 to 24 months, I'm about to show you a little 5 to 6 minute video. Sit back, relax, enjoy it. You're gonna love it. And use that same muscle that we used earlier and imagine your life like this.
I used to be a bank robber, and I served some time in prison,
Yes, sir.
My dad thinks I'm here to scream. I'm debt-free for my school loan debt. That was actually the first time I became debt-free. I'm actually here to tell my dad that I have paid off my mortgage.
Wow! Look at that!
It was a Saturday night, 4 days before Christmas, when the house burned.
It's devastating. We felt like we lost everything when our house burned down.
Whoa, you must have sold something. What'd you sell?
I sold the house.
Okay.
Well, I'm homeless right now, but I'm okay with it.
I made it up to about the rear tire of his car, his truck, and he opened up his car door and got out. He already had the gun in his hand and was turning towards me and started shooting.
My husband was diagnosed with a brain tumor in 2008, a year and a half into our marriage.
Wow.
I grew up an atheist and just wasn't, I just wanted to support her. And then we went there, like I said, we found an unbelievable pastor, totally changed my views on everything.
The last thing I paid off was the restitution. That was actually just Friday, down in the courthouse in downtown Dallas at the federal building down there. I don't want to exaggerate, but to say that it's the same as the day that I got out of prison is how I felt when I got in the button and I pushed one on the elevator to get out of that place and I was done. And that was it, man. My past was in the past and I didn't know anybody anymore. And that was the end of it.
I love it.
Being debt-free has allowed me to relax. It's allowed me to unplug from my work and allowed me to travel the world. I built this little map for myself and every piece that I got colored in or that I colored in was meant that I saved another $1,000 towards my bigger goal.
Yeah, there's not any stopping you. You've got plans for money. Money's going to be a tool in your hands your whole life.
There's nothing like being debt-free. I think so many worries are gone, knowing that I wasn't going to have to come home and pay those experiences off. Staying dedicated and disciplined and giving up leisurely activities for a short term is 1,000% worth the experience and the feelings that come with it.
I went and got a shovel and was looking through some just different areas of the house and I found a little piece of my son Memphis' baby book and the footprints were still there.
I mean, we just sat and cried and I was like, I'm so glad you found these.
And things just began to get beautiful. People would just come and bless us. It was amazing. We got things that were beautiful because that's what the Lord wanted for us at that moment. But we had lived in disaster even before the fire. I can give money to some other family that has a fire. We always gave whenever the Lord led, but now we can give when the Lord leads or when we just feel like it.
What happened 18 months ago that made you decide you needed to get out of debt and could get out of debt?
I found myself in a hotel room one night because I blew up my motorcycle there in Michigan. And I was sitting in the hotel room begging the credit card company to give me another $1,000 line of credit so I could make it back home. The weight off your shoulders, it's like freedom.
A friend of ours, who's a captain, he came to get me and I got picked up, got driven to the hospital.
All she kept talking about was that she had an emergency fund. And all I have is, well, at least I got an emergency fund. He's like, but he's laying on the ER table and all she's talking about is this emergency fund.
The finances were in place, and I think it was my way of not thinking about what was actually happening to him at the moment.
Now that we're getting back and getting back in the swing of things, our plan would be hitting that debt snowball as hard as we can.
So glad that when that diagnosis came and the medical bills started rolling in, we were able to use that emergency fund to not go into debt medically. He passed away in April.
You guys are fighting that fight with him. Meanwhile, he's fighting a fight for you so that he leaves you debt free.
Mm-hmm. That was his legacy that he wanted to leave.
He
wanted
to
make sure.
He did. What a wonderful legacy.
I was on my way home from work that night, right after FPU finished. I was listening to the CD, and I said the prayer that was in that CD and listened to Dave talk about that.
That's not why I was there. I was there to learn financial, how to do the debt snowball and how to do the different things relating to debt.
And it was in my car that night that, like, I first, accepted the Lord into my heart.
I was not there for any sort of spiritual growth or gain. But through those 9 weeks of being in the class, listening to what was being said, listening to Dave, everything really clicked and it made sense.
He has turned into the man that I have always dreamed of that will lead our family. I feel so blessed every day that I get to have him as my husband.
Wow.
Count it down. Let's hear a great debt-free scream.
3, 2, 1, I'm debt-free!
I'm debt-free!
Love it.
We're debt-free!
I'm debt-free!
So here's what you saw in that video. The Bible says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. What you saw there was not about money. You saw an injection of hope. This is not a season where we feel condemned about things that we've done wrong and the mistakes. It's about us imagining taking control of our future. The average person that goes through Financial Peace University, 4.5 million people have been through the class over 20 years, and they have averaged an $8,000 swing in their finances in just 90 days. They have 18 to 24 months, they're completely out of non-mortgage debt, and they pay off their mortgage in 7 years. Why? Because they get the God's way of handling money out of a heart of gratitude. And the way that we look at things changes our behaviors, our decision-making. It also changes our relationships. It changes our intimacy with God. And those of you that are maybe in your 20s, or maybe you're still in high school, I want to tell you, this isn't just for your parents. It'd be amazing if you never knew debt. It'd be amazing if you got that now so that you didn't make the same mistakes that we did. And those of you that maybe have marriage problems when it comes to money, this is a marriage conference in disguise. What we found is that people come in the class and, man, those husband and wife are not even looking at each other. It is tense, y'all. Next thing we know, on like week 3, they're like holding hands and we're like, dang. Then like week 5, 6, 7, they're like all over each other. We're like, get a room. That's nasty, right? It's amazing what a budget will do. It's so sexy, right? But y'all, I want you to imagine with me. Now, of course, I want you to register, you know, right after service. There's limited space available. But I want you to imagine with me. One day, your grandkids are going to pick up your Bible off a nightstand, and they're going to talk about their grandpa or their grandma, and they're going to talk about your legacy. And my prayer for you is that one of the things they say is that, man, grandma, grandpa, they love Jesus with all their heart. And the other thing I want them to say, I want your legacy to be, is that they took seriously, very seriously, the responsibility and privilege to manage for the Creator. And they did it out of a viewpoint of gratitude. My prayer for Champion Center this weekend is y'all would imagine you take control of your future, and that would move your life forward. God, thank you for this church. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your challenge. Thank you for your direction today. God, we love you with all of our heart. And may our actions, may our intentionality, may the way that we spend our time and our energy and our platforms and our influence and money reflect our love for you. God, we're not worshiping the provision. We're worshiping you, the provider. And God, we just want to say that we love you with all of our heart. Give us a glimpse of our future. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all so much.